Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 4, please. And we'll be reading in verses, starting in verse 34. It's 1194 in your Rock of Ages study Bible. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. The Bible says, "And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stand in his hand or say unto him, What dost thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And dear Heavenly Father, we read this passage and we think, we just can't help but think that you know what, those words are so true. That dear Heavenly Father, you are everything. We thank you for the fact that you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you are in control of everything. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to realize that you are our everything, and for us to place our faith and trust in you. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just meet with us today. Dear Heavenly Father, any of my thoughts are worthless. And dear Heavenly Father, we need to hear from you. I pray that you use your words and the message that you've given me for your honor and glory. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I was in Mansfield the other day, and I'm there on a frequent basis. Actually, it's Worcester. Anyways, you go into Worcester, and you take a highway that goes off to the north, and then you turn to the left and go down a little bit, and it's really cool. There's an old mill that's still standing. You drive by it, and it's pretty neat to see all the cables everywhere and how they used to take and pull the logs through the mill and use the water mill to run the saw. And obviously that was a long time ago. But the water wheel is what powered the whole thing. And you've seen the canal going up to a lake. And you know what was interesting is that basically if you took and allowed debris to get into the canal and slow the water down, it doesn't matter how many people, you know, the individual that ran the mill could, him and all of his friends could get together. But you know what? They wouldn't be strong enough to take and turn that wheel to operate the mill. You know, the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, there could be hindrances to allowing the water to flow. Well, today, pastors and Christians are striving and straining to everywhere to make the wheel turn. You know, it seems like church bulletins are full of activities, and it seems like there's all kinds of things to try and urge Christians to visit, to sing, to invite others to church, and to pray for revival. But basically, it seems like if we walk up the streams in our lives and something is blocking the water from flowing, then listen, we're just basically sitting there and we're trying to make the wheel spin on our own. And by the way, that's impossible to make happen. You know, it just seems like so many times in the life of many Christians nowadays that it seems like we try and do it on our own strength. We try and live a good Christian life on our own strength. We try and see folks saved. We try and work in a ministry. But what we realize is that, listen, we need the water to flow. And we need the Lord's help. And so here's the thing is that as we look at this passage, we see that Nebuchadnezzar was kind of the same way. He was trying to make things happen of his own strength. He forgot that God had placed him in the position that he was in. God had gave him the power. God had gave him the authority. And he, like many of us, realized very soon that, you know what, we can't do it without God. We're going to talk about this morning the pathway to brokenness. The pathway to brokenness. And here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, too many times we hear that term brokenness and we think it to be a bad thing. And to be honest with you, brokenness, you know, to be broken before the Lord is important. Because here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, it was through the breaking down of Jacob's natural strength that he was brought to a place that God could clothe him with spiritual power. It was the breaking of the pictures with Gideon that allowed the light to shine that gave them the victory. It was the poor widow who broke the seal on a little pot of oil and poured forth that God multiplied it to pay for her debts and the means of supplying for her supplying her support. And so here's the thing, as we think of the beautiful alabaster box that was broken and the odor filled the room and that pleased God tremendously. And by the way, it was Jesus' body that was placed on a cross, crown of thorns shoved in his head, nails that pierced his hands and his feet, a spear that pierced his side, that created the opportunity for us to be saved. You see, the Lord uses broken things. And we're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar. See, basically, God used some steps to bring Nebuchadnezzar to the place where he was broken. Broken to the point where God could use him in a great way. And when it came down to it, we see that, number one, Nebuchadnezzar was in his power. And, you know, the thing about it is that there was, when we look at the scope of his power, he was perhaps one of the most powerful men of that time. He ruled the mighty kingdom of Babylon. And you know what? There was no one that could go against him in power and military might. And you know what? But he forgot one thing, is that the source of his power, that God had placed him in that position. Basically, his success was something that God allowed. You know what? It was nothing that Nebuchadnezzar did. It was everything that God did. And you know, here's the thing, is that while Nebuchadnezzar was great and a powerful king, he was a shameful man in the sight of the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he forgot where his power came from, and he tried to live independently from God and his will. And by the way, when it comes down to it, America can kind of fit that mold today. You know, the thing about it is that God, we see that in our currency, one nation under God, and you know, we look at our foundations. We found, you know, here's the thing, is our nation was founded on God. Our nation was, you know what? I believe that our nation is what it is today because of the blessings of God. Because our forefathers decided that, you know what? We'd be one nation under God. And we realized that God was the supreme being and that we would look to Him for our instruction, for the way we lived, for the way we operated our country, for the way we conducted our business. Everything about what we did was going to be because of this book right here. And by the way, when it comes down to it, America is what she is today because of God, and God allowed it. But see, here's the thing, is when it comes down to it, we see that when we started out, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Go ahead and hold your spot there. But, you know, here's the thing, is that God allows things to be. But you know what? When God found us, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You know, I like to remind myself about what I deserve. Because you know what? It keeps things into perspective. The Bible says that before Christ found us, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And you know what I deserve? Hell. If I got what I deserve, the Bible talks about, for the wages of sin is death. We go into the Revelation, we see that, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. And so we see that because of my sin, because of your sin, we all deserve to die and go to hell. But the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. By the way, everything above hell is a gift from God. You say, well, you know what? I live here with a certain health and affliction, or I have financial trouble, or I have problems with my family, or I have problems here, or I have issues here. Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, I tell you what, one day we're going to be able to, if we've trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, one day we're going to be able to walk on streets of gold. One day we're going to be able to see our Savior face to face. And I tell you what, the things that we go through here on this earth, the Bible says our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. It compares nothing to eternity. But I tell you what, if we reject Christ altogether, hell is horrible and a place that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But listen, when it comes down to it, you know what? Too many people, we take life for granted. You know, they ignore God and the plan of salvation. Maybe after salvation, we take and ignore the things of God, and we ignore the fact that we're supposed to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be set apart for the Master's use. Here's the thing, as the Bible talks about, we're supposed to possess our vessel with sanctification and honor. Listen, when it comes down to it, God has a plan and a purpose for our life, and it's not just, listen, the plan for our life is not just attending a church. The plan for our life is not just being a good person. Here's the thing, as you go out knocking on doors in Bucyrus or around the country, and you know what? You ask somebody, are you a good person? I'd say probably about 90-something percent of them say, yeah, I'm a good person. So listen, if our goal is just to be a good person, if our goal is just enough to get by, that's what the standard is for the lost. The Bible says we're supposed to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be standing on this book right here. We should know this book right here. We should be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And so when it comes down to it, we see that, you know what, Nebuchadnezzar, you know what? He refused to acknowledge God in his life. Nebuchadnezzar had power. Number two is Nebuchadnezzar basically had his privilege. You know what? Look at verses 1 through 3. Daniel chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to show you the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought unto me, or towards me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And then go ahead and look in verse 30. The Bible says in verse 30, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? You know, God gives to us the same thing he gave to Nebuchadnezzar, and that's a free will. Just like in salvation, you know what? I can't take and walk up to anybody and say, I'm going to twist your arm and force you to trust Christ. I tell you what, if we could, that would be about the only time that I would condone the use of muscling somebody around. You know what? Because then I'd go around, and here's the thing, is you'd probably see me locked up in jail. What happened? Well, he was trying to force people to trust Christ. But anyways, listen, when it came down to it, we can't force anybody to do anything. God gave us a free will. And you know what? The thing about it is that you know what? God gives us a free will to walk with him. God gives us a free will to take and put him on the shelf, and which he's not happy with. But listen, when it comes down to it, Nebuchadnezzar here had a free will. You know what? He could choose the path of walking with God. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, the Bible says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And so when it comes down to it, Nebuchadnezzar exercised his privilege of free will before the Lord. But you know what? We see in this passage, he exercised the free will of indifference. Nebuchadnezzar came face to face with God in this episode with Daniel. He faced the decision of worshiping Daniel, we see in verse 46, and which he chose. But you know what? After all this, his heart was still hardened against the things of God. He was simply indifferent. You know, the thing about it is we, if we're not careful, we can get to the point where we're indifferent. We can see young people come in on the buses trust Christ as their Lord and Savior, and we think, oh, that's nice. We can see many, many people come in for veteran service, and we think, what a great deal. I'm not going this year. You know what? I'm not going to try and contribute at all. We can see, and by the way, here's the thing, is I'm not saying you have to participate in one thing or another. Participate in something. And so when it comes down to it, if we're not careful, we can become indifferent. Church isn't that important. You know what? Passing out a tract, it's nice, but you know what? It's for pastor. I tell you what, and here's the thing is, we can become indifferent. We think that we're a self-made person and that listen, we've got so much to handle in our lives. This is where Nebuchadnezzar failed. And by the way, he exercised the privilege of indifference. You know, he never stopped making his idols. Yes, he decided that he was going to make an idol for the Lord, but you know what? When it came face to face with God, we see that, you know what? He still wasn't willing to give away his idols in his life. He was exercising the will of indifference. You know, if we're not careful, we will exercise the will of indulgence as well. We say, you know what? Listen, I'll come to church on Sunday. I'll tuck my Bible under my arm, and you know what? When pastor says, turn your Bibles to 1,182, you know what? I'll turn there, and listen, I'll dress the part, and I'll act the part, but listen, when it comes down to it, there's a certain area in my life where God can't have. Listen, there's a certain area in my life where I say, you know what? Listen, I believe that part of the Bible doesn't apply to me. And here's the thing is, if we're not careful, we can exercise the free will of indulgence as well. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we see the next is Nebuchadnezzar and his pride. You see, Nebuchadnezzar was in a place of blessing. And I'll be honest with you, when we're in a place of blessing, we need to be careful. Because indifference creeps in the easiest when things are going okay. I tell you what you know, think back with me when the coronavirus just started. I tell you what, you look at Facebook, and a lot of people were telling me, man, Facebook was plastered with Bible verses, prayers, everything about God. And you know what? I talked to somebody the other day, and I said, how's that going? And they're like, it's tapering off. I was listening to, at work, I listened to a radio station that plays Christ-honoring music and a lot of preaching. And anyways, I remember hearing the family, the Christian News Network, and they said, you know what? The problem nowadays is that when it comes down to it, a lot of people were watching on Facebook, listening, and the concern was is that when it come down to it, the numbers on Facebook were dwindling. The numbers online were dwindling. And what happened is when we first started, opposition happened, and you know what? We fell on our knees. And we were praying, and we were seeking the Word of God, and we were all kinds of things. But you know what happens is, eventually, things became normal, and indifference creeps in. And I'm not necessarily saying in this church, but listen, when it comes down to it, if we're not careful, we can take and let indifference creep in. But listen, Nebuchadnezzar and his pride. Nebuchadnezzar was in a place of blessing. And, you know, the Bible talks about, listen, when it comes down to it, God knows what happened. And so here's the thing, is the Bible says in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, be sure your sins will find you out. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen, when it comes down to it, we need to realize that, you know what, whatever the reason is, if we decide that we're going to be complacent, we're going to be indifferent, if we're going to indulge, and we're going to allow pride to enter in our lives, listen, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen, I know the pastor can give you story after story, I can give you story after story, you talk to any pastor, listen, it seems like the story is the same. You get an individual or a family that decides to walk away from God, and you know what, tragedy strikes. Why? Because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, when it comes down to it, the Bible talks about train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And by the way, that works both ways. Either we can train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it, or we can show them hypocrisy, and too many times they'll follow in the footsteps of the parents. And so, listen, when it comes down to it, brokenness is of the utmost importance. Nebuchadnezzar, we see that when it comes down to it, God brought him to a place of brokenness. By the way, when it comes down to it, if we are not broken in spirit, if we do not remove our pride, if we say, you know what, hey, listen, I'm going to tell God what to do. Hey, listen, I'm going to, you know what, this book is not for me. You know what, I'm going to treat it like a buffet. I'm going to pick and choose. Listen, that's not brokenness. Brokenness is saying, Lord, I don't care what it is. If you say it in this book, it's truth, and I'm going to apply it to my life. Lord, if your will is for me to do thus and so, that's what I'm going to do. And what happens is too many times we allow pride into our lives. We allow our own will of indulgence, and we take and we just decide that we're going to do our will rather than God's will. And so here we have that, listen, God knows exactly how to get our attention, just like God knew how to get the attention of Nebuchadnezzar. We see that God had placed him in a position where this mighty king, where millions of people were just they worshipped him and they were afraid of him, and he was such a powerful man that, listen, God brought that individual who was so powerful, he reduced him to a pathetic, ugly beast that wandered around in 7 years eating like a wild animal. By the way, it seems like, I'll be honest with you, anytime we shake our fist at God and say, God, my will is what's best, He knows how to get our attention. And by the way, you say, is that what's happening to America? I don't know. I really don't. I hope not. I do know that Americans have, not as a whole, but individuals have shaken their fist at God and say, I don't even believe you exist. You look at who's in charge of our education system, teaching our children that it's okay to act like animals and just whatever comes along, you know what? You pick your gender. You pick what you do with it. You know what? Hey, listen, you live like you want to live. And by the way, I'll be honest with you. Some of that we are reaping the benefits. God is not mocked. We reap what we sow. And so listen, when it comes down to it, if we don't place ourselves in a position of brokenness, God knows how to get us there. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, I don't have time to look there, but turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And, the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, it just seems like it's so much easier to just submit to God in the first place. You know, I tell my children, I said, you know, here's the thing is, as a parent, I answer to God. And when you make a mistake, it's my job, according to the Word of God and from the authority to God, to try and help you correct that mistake and to learn from it and repent from your sin. But here's the thing is, you know what? If I take and I don't do my job and I just decide to sweep it under the carpet, the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. So listen, I love my children too much. I'm not going to spoil them. I'm not going to take and flush their future down the toilet. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And so when it comes down to it, listen, the Bible is very clear turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endured chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. And what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye, being without chastisement thereof, all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastised us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastising for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Here's the thing is, I tell my children all the time, I said, listen, when it comes down to it, you can either do something wrong that forces me to not be your friend in your eyes. Now, I am your friend because I'm doing what God commanded me to do because I love you. And I'll be honest with you, I question the love of any parent that just says, go do your own thing. Because that's a selfish love. That's a love that says, I can't be inconvenienced. God gives us the plan right here of how to raise our children and how to be successful. And when we say, nah, I can't be inconvenienced, that's a selfish love. And by the way, that's why we have a generation of selfishness. And so, but when it comes down to it, listen, we can be the kind of parents that say, you know what? I'm going to do what the Lord says. But by the way, when I tell my children, listen, you have a choice. You can either disobey and there's a consequence. Or, you know what? It's so much more fun if you just do what you're told. If you do what you're supposed to do. Why? Because listen, when you do what you're supposed to do, you know what? We can have a great time. We can have a great time of fellowship. We can have a great time of I can reward my children. And listen, when it comes down to it, God's the same way. God says, hey, listen, when it comes down to it, when you come with me and you shake your fist at me, he said, listen, there's going to be chastisement. I've got to come because I'm a loving father. I've got to come down hard and say, listen, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And listen, it's no different from raising our kids to God dealing with us. Hey, listen, if God didn't deal harshly with us and he allowed us to just do whatever we wanted, you know what? He would spoil us. And so, listen, we would not be the children of God that we are supposed to be. And so because he is a loving father, he says, listen, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Just like it's no fun for me to chasten my children and it grieves my heart. And you pray to God that, hey, listen, they got the message. And you know what? They will do things that will help them in life. Because of the word of God, when God chastens us, he chastens us with a heavy heart and says, listen, I can't use you unless you're broken. I can't use you unless you've removed the pride. I can't use you if you're a place like Nebuchadnezzar is. Listen, when it comes down to it, Nebuchadnezzar finally brought himself to the place where he was broken. And then God said, now I can use you. Listen, I don't have very much longer, but listen, one thing that we can learn from this is, number one, brokenness is not a bad thing. Brokenness doesn't mean that we're walking around in sackcloth and ashes, and brokenness isn't, nobody likes me, everybody hates me. Not a depression. Brokenness is I've got to depend on God. Brokenness is an awareness that says, you know what? By Him do all things consist, and if I'm going to do anything in life, if I'm going to be a good husband, if I'm going to be a good father, if I'm going to be a good church member, if I'm going to be a good Sunday school worker, if I'm going to be a good employee to my boss, no matter what happens, I've got to trust and rely on God. Brokenness is saying, you know what? I am not a self-made man. I am not a self-made husband. I am not a self-made father. Listen, I don't know everything. But you know what? I do know someone who does. And listen, when it comes down to it, this is not everything God knows, but this is everything that God wants us to know. And listen, Nebuchadnezzar finally came to the place where he said, you know what? He is God. He's not just a God. He's not just their God. He's my God. And that is the point where God said, you know what? I can bring you out of the field. You're broken. I can use you. Listen, when it comes down to it, how do we treat God this morning? How do we view? See, we as humans, we're a stubborn group of people. And you know, the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, we need to just say, like I tell my children, it's good advice for them and me. Hey, listen, life is a whole lot better if we just say, I'm willing to do your will. I'm willing to, you know what? You know what's best for me, Lord. I'm going to do it. And so when it comes down to it, once again, I want to read Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. Because it's so important. Because where Nebuchadnezzar came to, this is where we need to come to. Nebuchadnezzar chapter 4, starting in verse 34. And at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brilliance returned to me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. When we come to that statement right there, and we can honestly say in our lives, he is Lord. That's where God can use us. Let's pray. Dear my Father, I thank you so much for the lesson that you've taught us here by Nebuchadnezzar. And dear my Father, I feel bad that we haven't been able to spend more time on this. And dear my Father, I pray that you just help us to get to the place like Nebuchadnezzar. Dear my Father, too many times we're stubborn and we make you correct us. But dear my Father, I pray that you just help us either way to come to the point where we say, Lord, here am I. Use me however you see fit. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.